Now we begin to look at the text for this second Sunday in ordinary time. And in a way, they continue our theme, but they make it more confronting. Might be the right word, you see. Because the first and the third, the gospel readings, are all about our Lord's passion, you see. What's the obstacle to understanding the passion? Our vices. We saw the first time that our Lord predicted the passion. Peter said, oh, far be it from you, Lord. He has his own idea of a big shot. I mean, we're on the way to founding a kingdom, and you're talking about getting arrested and tortured and killed. Oh, that's not fitting. What did Jesus say to him? Out of my way, not Peter, out of my way, Satan. You are playing the role of Satan now, trying to dissuade me from doing my Father's will. He didn't mince words, did he? Thank God. And he'll do it to us. Thank God. When we need it, he'll call us anything he has to try to sober us up. Okay. So, these are the words of the unrighteous. They are jealous of the righteous man. And they say quite openly, why? Let us lie in wait for the righteous one, because he is annoying to us. He opposes our actions, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our upbringing. He's a pain in the neck. You know, we want to have all the sex we want. We want to drink whenever we want. We want to be irresponsible in our families. And this guy comes along, tries to tell us what we know already, we don't want to hear. This is wrong. This is not the way you're supposed to live. You're supposed to be faithful to your wife. Work hard at your job so that you're honestly earning what they're paying you. And try to contribute to the building of the church and preach the gospel. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And you know it. But so they say, see, he reproaches us for the transgressions of the law and charges us with the violation of our upbringing. You weren't brought up this way. He professes to have knowledge of God and styles himself a child of the Lord. You see, well, this is wisdom reflection, okay? Just looking at how does the word of God prosper and not prosper in a culture. That's what he's reflecting on. They're going to kill this guy because he's annoying. And he's only annoying because we know he's right. You see? He professes to have knowledge of God and styles himself a child of the Lord. To us, he is the censure of our thoughts. Merely to see him is a hardship for us. We can't stand this guy. Why? You see, now, I'm not talking about the extremely pious, censorious person who's looking down his, her nose all the time at people. They are a pain in the neck. But I'm talking about a good person whose very life reminds the rest of us what we're supposed to be like. Well, what you can do is stop inviting him to the bridge game, you know, and see if you can't get him voted out of the country club, and don't invite him to the men's night or the whatever, stag party or whatever. But it can get worse, especially in a Semitic culture. And so, see, he's the censure of our thoughts. Merely to see him is difficult for us, just to look at this guy. I'm talking about an ordinary good man. I'm not talking now about somebody who's always naughty, naughty, and I'm better than you are. They are a pain in the neck. But they're not the ones really preaching the truth of God either. They're preaching the truth of themselves. There's love. There's camaraderie. There's humility in a righteous man, you see? He judges us debased. He holds aloof from our paths as from things impure. He doesn't go to the burlesque shows with us. He doesn't go to bad movies with us. He keeps his children out of the mess on the television by monitoring what they watch. He goes to church every Sunday. Even if we're having a golf match and, you know, he's part of it, and it's got to be held on Sunday morning, he says he can't come. Now that is a pain in the neck. You see? See, his life is not like that of others, and different are his ways. So, he annoys us. Why? Because he's doing what we know we should be doing and we don't want to do. And he's speaking the truth and we don't want to hear it. Now, they get pretty serious about this. He judges us debased. He holds aloof from our paths as from things impure. Now, if he's really looking down his nose, and you know, that's different, but he's not. It's just his way of life. You see, he calls blessed the destiny of the righteous and boasts that God is his Father. So, let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him in the end. For if the righteous one is the Son of God, God will help him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. That's us. You see? These are the things that were said to him, our Lord, when he was on the cross, right? You're so righteous, why doesn't God help him? How come you're nailed up there to that cross? Why isn't God helping you out? You know? And even in Matthew, some of these very words from the Book of Wisdom are put on the mouths of the bystanders at the crucifixion. In fact, if I get a moment, I'll read them to you. You can see. Matthew takes these words and words around them that are there in this chapter and puts them on the mouths of those standing around mocking Jesus. He wants us to see what's really going on. You see? For if the righteous one is the Son of God, God will help him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. This is where they get it from. Well, no, this is not where they get it from. They get it from their own hatred. But this portrays it, you see? You can be, you know, have a hard time because your life doesn't correspond to the corruption around you. What do you do? Move out of the neighborhood if you can. You know, you don't want your children persecuted all the time. But you can't change what you're doing if you're trying to please God. You just can't. Okay. So if the righteous one is the Son of God, God will help him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. That's us. With violence and torture, let us put him to the test, so that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, because according to his own words, God will take care of him. Well, let's find out if God's going to take care of him. Let's start to torture this guy. Let's kill this guy. And let's see if God really does come to his help. Now, you see that spirit, huh? Why? Because, again, the disciples and the first ones to tell this on themselves, you see, they don't think like this, but Jesus' way of thinking is a shock to them. You know? The Son of Man is going to be arrested, tortured, and killed, die, and on the third day rise again. You see? And so, while I'm looking, I wanted to find the passion. The sentence of death, okay. And then the soldiers took him, they stripped him, they beat him, they clothed him, and so forth, okay? And then it starts here. The people around him, this is Jesus, the two revolutionaries also. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests and the scribes elbowed him and mocked and said, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him." Now these are the words. He trusted in God. This is just from the Book of Wisdom. For he said, "I am the Son of God." Well, let's see if he is. The hatred. And he put up with that in order to save them. He would offer them until the moment they drew their last breath salvation if they want it. Okay. All right. This is the psalm of a suffering just man that follows from our reading. This is Psalm 54. They picked verses 3 to 8. O God, save me by your name. Now, what would that mean? Save me by your name. What is his name? Adonai? You know, what does it mean? Save me by all that we know of you. Your name. Who is God? God is the creator of the world. He's the master of the world. He's the one who chose a people, rebuked them, but saved them, brought them to their own land, has mercy on them. That's who God is. So save me by your name and by your strength. Defend my cause. This is the psalmist praying. O God, hear my prayer. Listen to the words of my mouth. And now, this psalmist experiencing something similar to the man in the Book of Wisdom and to Jesus. Strangers have risen against me. The ruthless seek my life. They do not keep God before them. But God is present as my helper. The Lord sustains my life. Remember, Jesus prayed these all his life. He knew what was coming. But these came from the depth of his being. Not only is he reading the Word of God, he is the Word of God. So these things fill his heart. Turn back the evil. You see, upon my foes, that he wouldn't pray. In your faithfulness, get rid of them. Then I will offer you a generous sacrifice and give thanks to your name, Lord, for it is good, because it has rescued me from every trouble, and my eyes look down on my foes. This man is still praying for vengeance. Jesus never prayed for vengeance. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. But you see, the psalm is anticipating this suffering just man. This man, the suffering just man, inhabits the Psalms and becomes clear in Jeremiah. It's like catching the glimpse of a figure walking in the woods. Ah, there he is. Well, now he's over there. This suffering just man appears in these writings, you see. That's Jesus Christ already there. Or, as I think we did already, if you look at that Psalm 41, 40, I waited for the Lord, and he stooped to hear me. He took me out of the miry pit and set me on a rock. That, the Lord can show you, is what Jesus sang as the Father raised him from the dead. I waited for the Lord, and he stooped to me. And he took me out of the miry pit, and he set me on a rock. And I will sing a new song to my God. Praise to the God of my life. That's what Jesus, and he knew that. And he knew, Father, after I die and all that torture, I'm going to sing this psalm to you. See, he prayed the Shmoneh Etzrei every day, the 18 benedictions, right? One of them is, Blessed are you, O Lord, are you, O Adonai, our God, for you give life to the dead. Every day he prayed that. So he knew. He trusted. He knew his Father. And so, that's the suffering just man.